It's time now for the Interpulpit Radio Blast with missionary and pastor Rick Bell. Teaching truth from God's Word that you can use now and not just for the hereafter. And now, here's Rick with today's blast.
It happened more than 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, died for wretched sinners, you and me. He died on a cross and he rose from the dead, proving that he was the Son of God and overcoming death and sin and hell and the devil. And he gave eternal life to all who would come to him and believe on him. And that happened over 2,000 years ago. But the good news of the gospel is that we don't serve what happened just 2,000 years ago. We serve a risen and living Savior today. Hallelujah. He's not a dead Buddha. He's not a dead Muhammad. He's not a dead Confucius. He's not some cow in India that the Hindus are worshiping. He's not a worthless idol on a shelf, a statue that a lot of Asians worship that's unable to help them at all. He is a living Savior. He lives. He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, because he always lives to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7:25. We're talking about a risen Savior when we're talking about Christ. And you know that I'm into missions and I've done a lot of work overseas, and I don't go overseas to share Christianity. I don't go to bring Christianity to people. In fact, I don't like the term Christianity so much. It's just that it's because it's an inanity. We're not talking about living a life of Christianity. We're talking about living a life of Christ. Let's get past Christianity and let's just get into Christ. Let's have Christ be our all in all. And when we're talking about bringing Christ to the nations, amen, hallelujah, we're talking about bringing Christ to our neighbors. That's what we want to do. We don't want to get them converted to Christianity. That's a major wrong way to think. It's a major wrong way to speak, and it looks bad in the world. Oh, they just want you to convert to Christianity. What makes you think your religion is better than my religion and this and that, whatever? No, we want them to convert to a person, the person of Jesus Christ. And now, before we get the lost to convert to a person, the person of Jesus Christ, we have to get the church to convert to a person. Amen? Because there's a lot of people in the church who are just practicing Christianity. Okay. We all say Christianity, so I don't want you to get down if you've used that term. I've used the term before too. I'm just saying, hey, let's redirect our terms. Let's get it right. But in the church today, we have a lot of people practicing Christianity, but they're not living for Christ, or they're not experiencing Christ. They're experiencing Christianity. They go to church. They live in they know the lingo. They have the right music. They speak the right words and all of that. They might have the Christian t-shirt or watch the Christian television, Christian radio, all this. They're living Christianity. They love it, and it does them good. I'm not saying it's all not helping, but there's a far better place. There's a higher level in the faith walk, and that's walking in Christ, having that thriving relationship with Jesus Christ. And you can, because he's a living Savior. It's like I said at the beginning, he's not dead. He rose from the dead. That was over 2,000 years ago, but he's just as alive today as he ever was. He's outside of time, and yet he comes into time to get into our time. And so if you have time for him, he will make time for you and affect your life today in this time. It's not just wait till we get to heaven. Let's just hold on and wait till the Lord comes, and then we can all go home. Well, I want to go home like anybody else does, but I want to experience him now. I want to learn to enjoy this time now, even in this world that's full of sin and wickedness, and we have to deal with all these trials. The Christian believer can rise above the trials, can overcome the world by faith, and actually enjoy being used of the Lord, being his servant, his agent, his son, his brother, his friend on this time scale, to be used of God, to be experiencing God in spite of all that's happening in this world, in spite of all the things that get thrown at you on a daily basis. There is a place, brother and sister, where we can abide in Jesus and he abides in us, and we have fellowship with him, and it makes everything okay. You know, if you get your eyes on Jesus and start fellowshipping with him, the problems lose their sting. They lose their power. And, you know, the reason they have so much power over so many people is because that's all that the people are dwelling on. It's what you dwell on is going to be what affects you most. I mean, you have to give attention to lots of things. You have to deal with the daily responsibilities, okay? But you don't have to dwell on those things. You can be abiding in Christ and yet playing with your kids. You can be abiding in Christ and yet doing your accounting at work. You can be abiding in Christ and yet teaching science to the students at the high school or wherever it is that you're working, or if you're a student, you're studying. You can be abiding in Christ through all of that, dwelling on Him and doing everything through Him, and it changes things. And the problem is that we start to dwell on these other things, and we just come back to Jesus once in a while. And I'm not condemning anyone for that. That's something that we just got to work through in this time before heaven, before our bodies are changed and transformed. We have to learn to control ourselves, discipline ourselves so that our minds are stayed on Him. And when our minds are stayed on Him, Isaiah 26:3, He will keep us in perfect peace. And that's a good deal. If you want perfect peace, stay your mind on Him. If you want strength, if you want victory, it's not about Christianity, folks. It's about your living relationship with a living Savior, Jesus Christ. And how do I get to that? Well, let me read something to you from 1 John chapter 1. And this is written by the same John that wrote the Gospel of John. So you'll see some similarities in the opening verses here. It says, That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. All right, stop right there. Because I know when I read a lot of scripture, sometimes it can just get fuzzy because it's hard to keep track. There's so much in a verse that it just kind of all gets past you. So we're going to take it one verse at a time. I want to go through four verses here. This is the first verse. But John is saying that which we from the beginning heard and seen and handled. Okay? Heard and seen and handled. Concerning what? The word of life. Okay? Not concerning Christianity, but concerning the word of life. What were they handling? What were they seeing? What were they hearing? Well, John was an apostle, and he was around Jesus himself, okay? But he didn't just say Jesus here. He calls him the Word of Life. And they saw him. They heard him. They handled him. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't see him or hear him or handle him. And now what I'm going to say here is that we can. That John, in these verses, is inviting us to fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We'll see that in verse 3. He's inviting us to fellowship with God. And fellowship with God is what this relationship is all about. It's not about fellowshipping with an idea or with the values or even the convictions of Scripture itself. It's about fellowshipping with the person, Jesus Christ, and coming to the Father through Him, all through the Holy Spirit, a living triune God interacting and fellowshipping with us. Man, that's awesome. I mean, don't you want that? I want that. Well, it's so hard. I sit down and I want to pray, but I just get tired or I get distracted. Well, guess what? We're in a battle here. The devil doesn't want you to experience this, because once you experience this, there's no stopping you. If you can fellowship with God, there's no stopping you. That's what Jesus does. He turns you into an unstoppable, undevourable Christian. Don't you want that? I want that. And you can have it. And you do have it. And here's the point. You do have it. Sometimes you have to have your eyes opened up to what you have. We have heard, we have seen, we have handled the word of life. You've heard the word of life. You have ears to hear, and you heard, you turned to Jesus. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to this right now. Well, there's still some room for hearing where it's going to affect you. You've seen the word of life. Well, you know, I never saw Jesus. What are you talking about? Well, you have seen it. You've seen clearly through the filter of God's word. In Proverbs chapter 4, 20 and verse 20 and 21, I believe it talks about incline your attention to my words. Okay, that's incline your ear, keep them before your eyes, and keep them in the midst of your heart. Now, how do you keep words before your eyes? How can you see words? It's not talking about reading words on a printed page. It's talking about seeing things through the filter of God's words, through the filter of God's wisdom, through the filter of God's truth. And you've seen that. You've turned to Jesus. You've heard, you've seen, you've handled the word of life. Well, it doesn't mean I haven't touched Jesus. Well, you have touched Him. When you've worshiped Him, you've touched Him. When you raise your hands in worship, you're reaching out to touch Him, and He touches you. But it's keeping the words in the midst of your heart, as it says in Proverbs chapter 4. When you keep the words in your heart, you're handling the word. You start to live and work and act on the word. That's handling the word. So that which we have from the beginning heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands, have handled concerning the word of life. This life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That was verse 2. The eternal life was with the Father and was manifested to us. What's he talking about? The eternal life. When you die, you get eternal life? No. No, eternal life is not what you get when you die. Eternal life is Jesus. That's what John's talking about here. He's saying eternal life was with the Father and was manifested to us. And we read in John's gospel that the Word was with God and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So eternal life is equated to the Word of life, which is equated to Jesus. And so you can have the same fellowship with Jesus through the Word of life. And this Word of life was with the Father and was from the beginning. Now that's a good word, because the things you're going through right now have not been from the beginning. And the devil has not been from the beginning. And all these rotten elements of today's world, the wickedness, the sin, all of that is limited. It's not from the beginning, and it's not going to go on till the end. But we have fellowship with the Word of life, which was from the beginning. And Jesus said that I am the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. Who are you aligned with? Who are you aligned with? You are aligned with the one who is from the beginning. You are in with the ultimate. You are in with the creator of all life, and you are able to have fellowship with him. You are able to be let in on the secrets of the kingdom with him. You're able to get revelation from the word of God through him, the very word which Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. You are in on spirit and life. This isn't about death and struggling and hanging on and waiting until Jesus comes. This is about fellowshipping with life and being a walking ambassador of Jesus Christ, one who knows the Lord and one who has the secret power. That's an old phrase used from Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody was a big evangelist at the turn of the century, a long time ago, 1900s, I guess it was. And he talked about secret power. He was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is really interesting, because you go to Moody Bible Institute now, they don't emphasize the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But D.L. Moody knew about the baptism of the Holy Spirit being filled with the secret power. And whatever you believe about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I don't care what you believe, just get it. Get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you'll know what he's talking about, what we're talking about. And you need the Holy Spirit to be in fellowship with the Father and the Son. And so this is what John's talking about. The last verse there, or verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship. How do you have fellowship with them? Well, it's just by memorizing some scriptures, right? No, it's through the Holy Spirit. It's through, you know, listen, this is a spiritual life we're talking about. You can't feel, touch, hear, or see the Spirit, and yet John's talking about feeling, hearing, and seeing, and touching, and things of the Word of life. It's a spiritual reality that requires the, it requires the work of the Holy Spirit. And so, well, how do I get that? Well, like I said, you start believing. You start handling this word of life. Find out what the Bible says about receiving the Holy Spirit. Read the book of Acts. Just worship him and believe the promise. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, if you ask your Father for the Holy Spirit, he's going to give him to you. And some of you say, well, I asked him a long time ago and I never experienced anything. Well, if you asked him, you've received it. Just believe that you've received it and start walking in it. Start believing. This is about faith. This is about evidence of things not seen. You haven't seen it yet, but you believe it, and that's the first step. If you believe it, you're gonna see it. Don't get it backwards like the world. I'll believe it when I see it. No, I believe it, therefore I will see it. More to say on this next.
You've been listening to Rick Bell, author of the Interpulpit blog. For more teachings and information on Rick's ministry, please visit interpulpit.com. Thank you for listening. be blessed and rejoice. Jesus is coming soon, and he's even with you now.